Thank you for tuning in to Cross and Crown Baptist Church. For more information about our church and service times, check out www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles and open your hearts to the preaching of God's Word.
All right. Okay. Mic's on. Good. Praise the Lord. I had on my way here, I just want to praise the Lord for this, that on my way here, I had the dumbest song stuck in my head. And that's not what I'm praising the Lord for. I'm praising the Lord that right now I can't even remember what it is. So the whole way here, I was like, get out of my head. Get the stupid song out of my head. But we also sang my favorite hymn. And my favorite hymn is number 256. It's What a Wonderful Savior. We sang that tonight. And Christ has for sin atonement made. We are redeemed. The price is paid. I praise him for the cleansing blood that reconciled my soul to God. He cleansed my heart from all its sin, and now he reigns and rules therein. He gives me overcoming power and triumph in each trying hour. And I just want to thank the Lord for that, that he overcame that dumb song that was stuck in my head. So I don't know if you guys have a song that might be stuck in your head. Or something like that. Maybe there's some sort of worry or care or issue or just something that you're thinking about right now. Maybe you're down about something. Maybe we'll just pray right now that the Lord will get that out of our minds, get that out of our hearts, and that the Word of God would really do something great right now. And so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for your Word, and we thank you for how powerful you are, for how good you are to us, and how you provide everything that we need, and you give us comfort, that you give us everything emotionally we need, you give us everything physically we need, and you give us everything spiritually that we need. And Lord, it's so great to have you in our life, and so great that we get to open up your Word, and we get to see your truth. And Lord, we want to understand it. We can't understand it the way that it needs to be understood without the Spirit. So we pray that you would teach it to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I think Joe did a good job today. How about that? He taught over in Sunday school, and then he got up here, and he did the announcements, and he did the singing, and he did the preaching. And I was over there in the kids Sunday school class, but I know what it's like, and that's tough work right there to do all that. I've done that before with in the kids Sunday school class, where I get up and I do the memory verse, and I do the song, and I do the game, and I do the preaching. And I get tired of hearing myself talk, so I just think that Brother Joe did all that today. That was a lot of work, and praise the Lord for that. But also, I don't think he always listens to the very first part of this, but I praise the Lord for Pastor Craig.
Amen.
He think about what he does here at this church. He's the CEO. He is the head custodian, making sure everything gets cleaned. Making sure we all do our cleaning assignments. He pays the bills. He does all of the paperwork stuff. I don't even know what goes into all that. Making sure that we have insurance and all those documents done. And he's, what do you call it, when you lead a construction site? He's the, what now?
General contractor.
Foreman. He's getting plans done for our new whatever that is, our new land and our new building. He's got dealing with politicians, talking about people, and doing all those plannings. And I get stressed out just thinking about what he's doing. And he has to do, on top of all that, he's got to lead the church and preach and make sure the song's done, make sure the choir, make sure all these things. And he does it efficiently, and he does it to where he saves a lot of money. We really got to praise the Lord for him. So, But tonight, the message is going to be, this is the last Sunday in 2024, heading into 2025, so we're talking about realigning for 2025. So realigning our hearts, realigning our understanding, realigning our perceptions for 2025. It might not seem like I'm really talking about 2025 at first, a lot of the principles, things that I'm going to go over. Every Friday night, we go to a program, Reformers Unanimous. It's a program where you go and it's really a behavioral modification discipleship program. So everybody thinks it's just about addictions. It's just about, you know, going there to hear about how to get rid of all of your addictions and all that. But really what it is, it's a behavioral modification program that helps you to deal with any problem that you have that keeps you from getting closer to the Lord. And I've heard, I think it was Brother Joe that said something like 70% of all males in the congregation have viewed pornography in the last year. So really, if you think that you don't fall into the category of maybe needing a little bit of extra help, I mean, there's 70% of us really should be there. And there's other issues, just things like overeating, things like bitterness that it helps you deal with. So some of the principles, I'm going to go over three or four of the principles tonight that we go over in Reformers Unanimous. It's all biblically based. We don't go there and we don't talk about our, just sit there and whine about our addictions and things like that. It's really, we go there, we talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about the principles of that, because really it's centered about Jesus Christ. Only the truth will make you free. And Jesus Christ is the truth. So the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to being free of all of our stubborn habits, all of our addictions and things like that. But the first principle that I'm going to talk about tonight is principle number two, which is every sin has its origin in our hearts. That's the where sin all starts. Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. I love Proverbs. The world doesn't have guidance like Proverbs. They don't have anything close to it. There's nothing like it. Let's look at verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. We're talking about realigning our hearts for 2025. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When I think about issues, really issues are outgoings, things that come out of you. It's also translated in the Bible as goings forth, goings out, or outgoings. So all of our issues are going to start in our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And when I'm thinking about 2025, I'm setting some goals for 2025. I think you should set goals. Because if you don't aim for something, you definitely won't hit it. If you aim for something, you might not hit it, but you'll get closer. One of my goals that I set for myself or 2023 was that I want to live for 50 more years. I'm 44 years old. I want to live into my 90s. So I started doing things like cutting certain things out of my life, the junk food a little bit, and just sugars, refined sugars. And I started, you know, trying to take care of myself because I want to live into my 90s. I want to serve the Lord and be serving the Lord with strength. I might not hit it. I might not get to live into my 90s. My wife's grandfather, my kid's great-grandfather, still alive, 90-something years old. We went to visit him. So I might not live to be 90-something years old. That's ultimately up to God, but I might live a little bit longer than what I did if I just totally ignored my health. But issues. I think about issues, I think about goals, think about things that I'm going to do. We should set goals for things like, I'm going to read my Bible a little bit more for 2024, or 2025, excuse me, get old, you start mix the years up. But the Bible says we need to keep our heart. That means watch and guard our heart. To keep something means to put it in a secure location. And principle number two, I just read it from Reformers Unanimous, is every sin has its origin in our hearts. It all starts there. But principle number three is it is easier to keep your heart clean than it is to clean it after it's been defiled. In other words, it's easier to stay right with God than it is to get right with God. So if we keep our hearts and we protect our hearts and we protect what we're doing with it, then what comes out from our hearts, our goings forth or our comings out, are going to be better. Keep our hearts. It says to, not only to just keep our hearts, but to protect our hearts, but it says keep our hearts with all diligence. We need to be diligent with how we watch our heart. One of the things that I do, or that we need to do to keep our hearts, is have the Word of God as our major focus. There's a few verses that I liked when I think about the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, everybody, a lot of people have it memorized. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want my goals in 2025 to be successful. And in order to do that, I need to meditate on the Word of God. And when I meditate on the Word of God, I'm keeping my heart and protecting my heart. That was Joshua 1:8. Psalms 1, I honestly believe that David, when he wrote Psalms 1, you can disagree with me on this, I think he was meditating on Joshua 1:8 because it has a lot of the same words. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate and day and night are in both of those verses. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And prosper is in both of those passages. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you can disagree with me on this, but I think Jeremiah might have been meditating on Psalms chapter 1. To turn to Jeremiah chapter number 17. We'll look at that one. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Under the inspiration of God, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there, you see that he's talking about prospering, just like in Psalms 1, where it says we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth our fruit. Those passages all go together, and they're all centered around trusting in God and trusting in his word. But look at the next verse there in Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to keep our heart. And when we keep our heart, we can keep it from being from going into that trap. And we're going to get into about how our heart is deceitful and how we keep it from being deceitful a little bit later on. In Psalms 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We're keeping our heart with all diligence. And we need to be diligent by continuing in the word of God. We need hearts that burn for the word of God and hearts that burn for the things of God. And we build that appetite by being in the word. When we get out of the word, we don't hunger for it. But the more we read the Bible, we wake up in the morning, you get in the word, the next day, you desire it more. You build a thirst for it. You build a hunger for it. So we need to build a hunger for the Word of God. But keep thy heart with all diligence. We also need to be diligent by casting down imaginations in our heart. You know, there's things that need to be cast down on a regular basis. There's sins that pop up. There's temptations that we have. Unforgiveness. Just different things like bitterness that will pop up. And every time we get those lustful thoughts or the desires to be not forgiving or to be or anger or resentment, all of those things that pop up, we need to cast those down. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Another verse that a lot of people probably have memorized, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll start with verse number 3. Sorry, that's the wrong verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, sorry. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And what happens is when we're not diligent in keeping our heart, strongholds are built up. But we do what we need to do. Verse number 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we can cast down our thoughts of bitterness, our thoughts of anger, our thoughts of resentment when we focus on the Word of God. We need to protect our hearts and be diligent about protecting our hearts from defilement. It is easier to keep our heart clean than it is to clean it after it's been defiled. We need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in situations where we're being tempted. James 1:14 says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." We got to be diligent. We need to be diligent in drawing nigh unto God. The Bible says, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you." So keep thy heart with all diligence. And all those things help us to keep our heart. And the next part of that verse is, "For out of it are the issues of life." So everything that we do is going to be centered around what is going on in our heart. So everything has its origin in our heart. If we think about wrong things, we're going to do wrong things. If we can get to the point where we don't even think about whatever it is, fill in the blank, then we're never going to get to the point where we do whatever it is, fill in the blank. But contrast that in a positive light and think about this. If we never think about doing the right things, we're never going to get to the point where we do the right things. That's why meditating on God's Word is so important, because we over and over and over, we put in the right thing to do, the right thing to do, the right thing to do. And it also protects us from the wrong things to do. So what causes us to think about sin? What causes you to think about sin? What are your triggers? What puts that thought into your brain that causes you to want to do that wrong thing? That's why they spend so much money on advertising. All they have to do is put that thought into your brain, because a little leaven is all that needs to get in there, and it's going to leaven the whole lump. That's why even with some of the philosophy of the world, like the direction that we're going, like things like, all you have to do is put that idea out there. Even if you put the idea in a negative light, then it gets the thought into people's head, and it gets them to think about the wrong thing. So I remember when I was younger, it was saying things like, "Oh, they'll never allow gay marriage. It's never going to be allowed." And now that ship done sailed. Now it's accepted almost. It's already a part. But it was so insane that when I was a kid, if they said gay marriage was going to be allowed, that they said, "You're a conspiracy theorist. That's never going to happen." But all they had to do was put the thought out. And then the thought takes hold. The thought is leavening the whole lump. And then it grows and it grows and it grows. So you think about the things that we're saying today are insane, things that are crazy, things, "Oh, that'll never happen. You're a conspiracy theorist. You know, that's a slippery slope fallacy, that none of that's going to happen." A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We really need to keep our hearts. We really need to keep, make sure that we're not entertaining certain things. I fall all the time. I mess up all the time. But the Lord helps us to get back. He gives us overcoming power and triumph in each trying hour. He helps us. And though we make mistakes, God will help us. God will give us, put us back on the right path. God will cleanse us. And that's a good thing, but we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay drawing nigh unto God. We need to cast down those imaginations. Romans chapter 13. See, what causes us to sin? What causes us to sin is a thought. And what causes us to think about sin is our triggers. And that's what we need to stay away from is the triggers, the things that cause us to get to that point. Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Making provision for the flesh. What do we do that makes provision for the flesh? It could be something that we see. It could be a place that we go or a person that we're around. And we make a provision for the flesh. Whatever we do that gets us to think about something in our heart is making provision for the flesh. You know, we think about even our history, our past, and the things that we've done in our life, and we think about things that we should be ashamed of, but sometimes maybe we aren't so much. Maybe we entertain some things that we've done in the past, like remembering when you were rebellious, when you were younger, remembering when you won that fight, different things like that. But if we think about the past in a positive light, what we're doing is we're making provision for the flesh. We're not casting down that imagination, that thought. That thought needs to be cast down. So a lot of times when you sit around with in Reformers Unanimous, they say one of the things we talk about is we're not here to sit here and tell war stories about all the sins that we used to do and all the things we used to be trapped in. Because what happens is when you, in like Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've never been to them, but I've heard people that have talked about them, they sit there and talk about, "I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. I used to do this and I used to do this." And they're talking about all the glory days of their sin, almost like celebrating it. And what they're doing is they're building the appetites of all the people around them, and they're viewing the past in a positive light. So what do we got to do? We got to panic? You guys, go ahead and look at it so we're not distracted the rest of the time. We're good? We're good or no?
Knoxville?
Okay, we're safe. All right. Knoxville's a little far away. All right. But making provision for the flesh is, we're not going to sit around and talk about, you know, like the highlights of our sins. And the more you talk about it, the more you're going to think about it. You're making provision for the flesh. You're making small compromises that are going to lead to disasters. We're not going to sit here, if we have a problem with alcoholism, we're not going to go watch a ball game with a bunch of alcohol commercials over and over and over. So we're not going to make provision for the flesh. Ephesians 5:11, I'll just read it. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." If we have a problem with a certain sin or a problem with something in our life that's distracting us or keeping us from getting closer to God, what are we going to do? We're not going to have fellowship with it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay, so principle number 4 in Reformers Unanimous says, we cannot fight a fleshly lust by indulging in it. And the kids' version of that is, give the devil an inch and he'll become your ruler. So if we feed that appetite, what's going to happen is it's going to grow. What we need to do is we need to suppress certain appetites. We need to feed good appetites. They need to be fed so that they can grow. The Bible talks about casting off weights. You know, some appetites we need to suppress. Things like, it might not be sin, but maybe hobbies, watching too much television, looking at too much YouTube videos, or things, eating certain foods that are not so healthy. Maybe we should suppress those appetites. But some appetites need to be starved. We don't give into it at all. And that the what appetites that need to be starved is lust. It's sin, addictions, fleshly lust, like including anger, bitterness, envy. Don't feed the appetite. Some appetites are never going to be satisfied. You can't fight a fleshy lust by indulging in it. What you're going to do if you indulge in it, we're just going to have the appetite to grow. And I promise you, I'm talking about goals in 2025 here, okay? Just kind of, we'll get there. We need to put our goals into the context of the Word of God. Ezra, chapter number 7, let's look at that. What did Ezra do? Ezra, Nehemiah, it's over there right before Psalms and Proverbs. Ezra chapter 7. Did I say chapter 10? Ezra chapter 7. Verse number 10. It says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, but not only to seek it, but to do what it says. The Word of God will align us to follow the right directions. Our heart will deceive us to not follow the right directions. Because sin is pleasurable for a time. And our hearts remember that time of pleasure. There's a reason why people sin. It's enjoyable. I mean, sometimes you just want to punch somebody in the face. It's enjoyable. All right? There's other sins that are enjoyable. You know why people drink alcohol? Because of the pleasure that it brings. That's why people smoke cigarettes. That's why people do whatever. Fill in the blank. All of those sins are pleasurable for a time, and our heart remembers that. See, the pride of life, it'll get us to seek the glory for ourselves, to want to be put in that high attainable position or that high attainable situation, or to be held in reverence, to almost be worshiped. That's the pride of life. It's pleasurable. We have a numbing and we have a stimulating effect from drugs or comfort from food that wants us to seek more. And looking on things that we shouldn't look is a desire that causes our hearts to flutter. That person that we're looking at causes our heart to, and then our heart tells us to seek more of that pleasure. But what happens is we put sin in the proper context when we open up the Word of God. We have to put sin in the proper context. You know, our heart has a memory. It really has memory, and it remembers certain situations. See, the world puts sin into the context of pleasure. That's why when you watch a beer commercial, everybody's having a great time. That's why. The world puts sin into the context of pleasure, but we need to put it into the context of the Word of God. You know, with guys, I've talked to more than one guy that's been to war, got really messed up, injured very badly, and has PTSD. And one of the things that they do is their heart remembers those traumatic events. And then something that they see, or some noise or something that happens, has them go back to that. It's like almost like some of them have never even left that situation, that it's always there. And then something will trigger, and then our heart remembers the traumatic events. And one of the things that they talk about is, how do you get over PTSD? And one of the things that I've heard from more than one guy is, it helps to talk about it. And what happens is, when you talk about something, you put it into a different context. It's like, instead of being there, you talk about it, and then the next time you talk about it, what happens is you're not talking about the original event anymore. You're talking about the last time you talked about it. And that's how our brains sort of remember these things. It's like, and then the next time you talk about it, you're not remembering the original event or the second event. You remember, you're putting yourself into the context of the last time you talked about it. So what we the same thing happens with us is we put things into the proper context, and we're able to overcome our sins because we're putting it into the context of the Bible and looking at it in that light. That's why it's so important to open up our Word, and if you have a problem with a certain sin, to find the verses on that, because you're putting it into the context of the Bible. You know what happened to Jews in the wilderness? They did not put it into the proper context. That's why they don't remember the oppression. They don't remember the hard labor. They don't remember being under the hand of Pharaoh. And they don't remember the things like Pharaoh killing their children when they're in the wilderness complaining about, oh, I wish it was like when we were back in Egypt. No, you don't. That's how it is with sin. We're like, oh, we go along as Christians and we get to this point and we're like, oh, I remember back when, man, if I could just have one more cigarette. But you don't remember the context and you don't remember where you were at in that time. And the Bible helps us to realign our thought process to where we're keeping our hearts in a diligent way and we're not going to fall back into sin. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's Out of our heart are the issues of life. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, against thee. Emotions. You know, fear will cause you to act a certain way when you have fear in your heart. But we can put it in the context of the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We put it in the context. Bitterness. You know why we get bitter? It's because we didn't forgive that person. Jesus said, forgive them how many times? 70 times 7. Forgive and forgive and forgive over and over and over. It's hard to forgive sometimes. But God wants us to put that into context that look at what God did for us and how much he forgave us for. How we need to forgive that person. You know, disgust. Certain things are disgusting. But even the Bible says, even our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. Can you imagine how disgusting we really are compared to heaven? And then somebody comes along and they might be homeless, they might be stinky, their breath stinks, their body stinks, and we just want to despair. I have no hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ, and disappointment. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have Jesus Christ. We can't be disappointed in the grief and the desires that we have, the wrong desires that we have, and the anger. It all goes away when we put it into the context of the Word of God. But that also applies to goals that are incorrect. You know, our heart wants us to do things that don't align with the context of the Bible. We seek for money, riches, temporary comforts, or whatever it might be. But when we take it and we apply it to the Word of God, there is heaven. And heaven is eternal, and it never stops, and it never goes away, and forever and ever and ever, we're going to be in a perfect place where it's good, where it's comfort, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's nothing, no sin. Forever and ever and ever. And forever, we're never going to be able to work again. And you think about that and you put that into context. Now is our time to work. we're never going to be able to work again. We really have to get to work. And you think about it also, that there's rewards that are eternal. Now, put it into the context of hell. That there's no escape. That there's torments. That there's flames. That darkness, gnashing, weeping. Kind of makes all of our goals seem misaligned when you put it into the context of eternity. That maybe for 2025, we take that as our focus. And what happens is when we get away from the Word of God and we stop thinking about all the things of eternity, what happens is our context is off. And we start to slip into the world's context. The world says you need this. The world says you need that. The world says you need to do this. The world says you need to go that direction. But eternity says we need to do it a little bit differently. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. So our goals for 2025, let's get them in the right context here. Some things are just not as important as we make them out to be, and some things are more important than we make them. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So our hearts getting realigned by the Word of God. When we take the Word of God, what's in our heart to do? Does it match up with the Word of God? A discerner is like a judgment. And the Word of God is going to judge our hearts. Our hearts, which are so deceitful, try to get us to fear, try to get us to have anger, try to get us to be bitter, try to get us to have no hope, try to get us to desire and lust after things that we shouldn't have. But then we have the Word of God to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, when we think of eternity, it seems ridiculous that we're going to sin. It seems, when we think about what Jesus did for us, it seems ridiculous that we won't forgive. It just puts it all into the proper context. You know, Job, he had his life in the proper context. And because he put his life in the proper context, he did everything in his life toward God, toward doing what God wanted him to do. And he knew that when all those bad things happened to him, that it wasn't because of him. It was because something God was doing. And he had put his entire life, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, it is all up to you. I've done everything toward you. Everything that happens to me, I'm in your hand." And Job had properly aligned and put things into the proper context. Let's look at Psalms chapter 73 here. Psalms chapter 73. Think about Lot. He was in the context of the world and what the world expected him to do. And those guys came to his house, and he offered up his daughters when they came to attack those men that came to his house. He offered up his daughters. He had the wrong context. Look at David here. Psalms chapter 73. See, David, he'll admit it. Verse number 2, it says here, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And he goes into there about how the wicked are never punished and things like that. Look at verse number 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." And he put it into the context of what God's plan. See, only the truth is going to make us free. And when we get into this mode of following the world's way and following the world's philosophy and going and setting our goals the way the world wants us to do, what it is, we've actually put ourselves into bondage. And we can be free from all that. We can be free, but only the truth is going to make us free. You know, our heart is deceitful. We seek the wrong direction or desire because the reason why we do that and the reason why we sin in the first place is because there's an appetite. And what we do is we try to fill that appetite with the wrong thing. A lot of people, they do drugs. Sometimes it's because of anxiety. Some people, they want to feel empowered, so they do drugs to feel empowered. A lot of times people overeat because what they need is comfort. And all of those things are really appetites that we really should have fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to treat a spiritual problem with a fleshy solution. And they're trying to they're trying to fulfill that. So Luke 6:24, it says, "Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." See, they receive their consolation. What is their consolation? Their riches. And really what we need is we need to look at why are we having that desire? Why do we need to fill in the blank? And it's all because we need Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ in our life. He's the solution. And God will give us what we need if we just go to Him. God will give us the comfort that we need. God will give us the boldness that we need. God will give us the peace. God will give us the joy. God will give us the love. He'll give us everything that we need, that we're seeking, and all those other things. But our goal for 2025 should be Jesus Christ first. Everything that we decide that we're going to do, am I doing it for Him? So I would recommend everybody, my challenge tonight is set some goals for 2025 and make those goals centered around Jesus Christ. And if you can, whatever you do in the Word of God, if you read one chapter a day, double it. If you read, memorize one verse a week, do some more. Just really push yourself is what I just want to encourage everybody to do this year is really find where you're at and just push yourself. Can I do this? And if you fail, if you don't do it 100% perfect, that's fine. At least you're shooting for a target. At least you're trying to make that. And so I'm going to pray and then close out the service. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for allowing us to have the truth. And we thank you for all the benefits we get from you and from your word. And Lord, we want to make you our focus this year, in 2025. And everybody here may have something that they're thinking about that they want to do. I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you'd help me. Help me to stay away from sin, Lord, and help me to get closer to you. And I want to do better. I want to be pleasing to you. And I want to be free, Lord. So please help me in Jesus' name. Amen.